Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today. The Score!
This just in, we have a new guest, Patrick Manelli.
Patrick Manelli, the longest tenured player in Chicago Bears history.
I want to thank the Bears organization for an incredible 16 years.
Score Football pregame and postgame show co-host.
We're winning ugly, which means the offense sucks.
Master in the art of the long snap.
Do you have any kids?
I do.
Check out longsnapper.com. Have him start early to learn how to long snap.
He even has a signature beer.
Long snapper IPA. The can, the artwork's me long snapping a ball on top of an El Camino. I have an El Camino, so the artwork's great. The beer's great.
Patrick Manelli.
That was a good snap.
With Bernstein and Holmes on 6-7 to Score.
How long does it take to grow the mullet?
The gourmet mullet?
Why is it gourmet?
Because it's awesome.
Time to talk to Patrick Manelli. What say we do? He is on Twitter at Patrick Manelli, the Bears long snapper for 16 years. Good Lord, that's too long to play football.
No, not the way the Patrick did it.
Still, it just sounds,
Patrick did it the right way.
I know, it just sounds like such a long damn time to do anything.
It
let
is.
Let alone wear a plastic hat and get out there and smack it into people.
Those 17 weeks when them checks came in, though, it was great.
Oh, I know. But I mean, you don't.
Amen.
Amen
to that.
What am I going to do when I grow up, Daddy? Well, you're going to wear a plastic bucket on your head for 16 years, and you're going to stare through your legs.
And you're going to take a knee during practice and have to switch from one knee to the other because the one knee is getting tired.
Yep, and then you know what you're going to do is you are going to think about golf the entire time. Okay, that sounds great.
Yep. I'll do that. I'll sign up. Everybody should sign up for that.
The co-host of the Score Football pre- and post-game shows, he is with us now on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. And there he is on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670, The Score. So I wanted to ask you this because something popped into my head when we were talking about what happened last night with Jeff Saturday and Matt Ryan and the clock and how that could possibly happen with someone with that experience. It reminds me of what you used to tell me about Brad Maynard.
Yes.
And some people have a sense for timing out a clock, for gaming that out and knowing exactly between the play clock, the game clock, and where the stoppages might be. What is it fair to ask a veteran quarterback to have to know? All of it?
No, Dan, that's one thing. I was watching TV here last night, and I'm looking at Jeff Saturday, and I'm feeling bad for him because he's a buddy of mine. I'm like, what are you doing? But then I'm also looking at who's the starting quarterback is, and I'm like, Matt Ryan, you've played forever in this league. You've gone through a million two-minute drills. I think you've built enough equity up to look over to the sideline and just bang a timeout yourself. And I think he should know that. I think that's part of quarterbacking and the elite quarterback, if he's been considered that in the past, this year not so much. But you would think that's something that he would know that's going on. He should know going out there, hey, I've got three timeouts. Hey, this is the clock. Yes, he should know that, and he should have built enough equity to turn to Jeff Saturday, especially being the coach that he is right now, and just, like, where the hell's our timeout?
That's supposed to be the added value of having Matt Ryan. Like, when we talk about veteran presence, the whole reason that you brought him in is so in moments like that, he could make some of the decisions. It's the whole point of having a guy that's been playing quarterback that long.
Coach on the field.
Yes! Yeah. Like, he's supposed to be doing all of that stuff. It was really annoying to watch.
No, it is. And it's just, he's really slipped. I don't know, you know, the O-line struggled as well, but it's just sometimes guys play one or two too many years. You know what I mean? And it just falls off a cliff. And everybody says Father Time's undefeated. And it looks to me that Matt Ryan has just played one too many years. And it's, you know, it's just time to hang it up. He just looks like he's kind of just a little lost out there. And it's kind of surprising because he was always in control in Atlanta. Even if they were losing, he was always having a decent season. And it just seems a little off right now.
We were having this discussion about mobile quarterbacks, and I know that you've got some strong feelings about this too when it comes to how you can go about winning. I see evolution. I see the evolving of the game, Patrick, right now with these quarterbacks. What's your concern, and what are the things that you like about quarterbacks that are able to move and add that to what your offense can do?
You know, well, the concern, obviously, number one is durability. Can you play 17 games in a season? And we're seeing right now with Justin Fields that he can't do that with you know, some of the hits and issues that are going on. But I talked about this, I think it was on the post-game show with Mully, about can you win with a mobile quarterback? Sure you can. And I agree. This the NFL's changed, and it's changing even more. You're seeing more of these mobile quarterbacks coming in from college systems that they use their legs more. But two-minute drills into the half and the end of games are one from the pocket. Just with the way the rules are in the NFL, the way the defenders are limited against these receivers – you need to be able to throw the ball from the pocket as well. And it doesn't have to mean the whole game, but those situations, and we've seen it here with Justin Fields, that he's just not mature enough yet in his development that he can win it from the pocket. So I think you can get there to the playoffs and things like that, but you're going to get into games where they're equal opponents. You know what I mean? There's going to be come down to a one-score game, and you have to win it from the pocket. So me being a little selfish, why can't we have both? Why can't he be one of the most dynamic players with his legs, and you run him that way and tell him to slide and take 2 yards less without taking a hit or things like that, but then develop to be a two-minute pocket passer or a pocket passer if a team really wants to take you out of the game? I think you can have both. And I'm kind of just want to be selfish that, hey, Justin, develop into that great pocket passer and well, and just use your legs as well.
That's what I want to see if he comes back. Like, that's like the next thing, because I think I've seen a lot of stuff that makes me go, all right, like there's something there that can be turned into something great. I want to see some of that stuff, and I wonder in the evaluation process at Hallis Hall if Ryan Poles feels like he's seen enough of that to come to the full conclusion that Fields is his guy going forward.
I still think that's what's important, why it's so important for him to get back on the field when he is healthy. Because I still think in the pocket, in the passing game, there's a lot of development that needs to be done. I think we all talked about it earlier in the year that why wasn't he just ripping it? Well, then they kind of changed the offense and they let him run and they kind of took away some of those opportunities to throw with you know the running the quarterback runs. I still think it's very important for him to get back there and see as much NFL defense as he can, get used to an NFL pocket. It's way different than it was Ohio State. There's a lot of throws. You know, we've talked about the struggles of this O-line where there's a little color flashing with a rush. And a guy's kind of open, but he scrambles and he makes a 10-yard run. And you're like, wow, that's amazing. But he could have just used his arm and got it just as easy. And I think that's what we need to see from him. Just get more reps, get used to that. And let's hopefully he can develop into that. We're not saying he can, but he's moving along so far. But he's got to make that jump.
I had this thought Sunday night watching the Eagles and Jalen Hurts. And not so much watching him, but watching Jason Kelce. I know it's not the sexiest thing in the world to talk about center play, but when I saw what they're able to do, I want one of those. It's just the difference, and nothing against Sam Mustipher, who's trying his ever-loving heart out, but the difference between a replacement-level center and an absolute kick-ass athletic monster is night and day for what this offense can be. I don't know how you scout that guy. We were talking about it yesterday. It's a very difficult position to scout.
I think it's the hardest.
It's so hard to find. But like, where do you find a tight end and make him that? I mean, like, where do you get a center like that? Because I watched him over and over and over again, and my jaw was dropping with all the things he was doing.
That's a unicorn. That's a unicorn, man. That guy is a different animal. I mean, that's Those are generational. You know what I mean? Obviously, Olin Krutz is a great quarterback. Center, I'd put him up at that level, but I think Kelce is a little more mobile. But those are, you get lucky to find those. And the other thing is, guys, that whole O-line.
Yeah.
You got a right tackle that's an absolute stud. You don't have to do anything to help that guy. That's what the Bears need. If you can build this team inside out, I just got done watching that first half against Green Bay on the All-22. Nobody's getting close to him. Jalen Hurts is amazing because he can take off and run because there's lanes there because the guys are locked down up front and he has forever to throw. So it would be nice to be able to get a Kelce and a Lane Johnson as well out there and tackle.
But even short of that, can I get somebody who's 80% of that or 75%
of
that? I mean, just someone who's really good at it.
Mm-hmm. No, that's the scouting department's job, and that's what they got to go find. But Kelsey's just, he's a different animal, man. He does a lot of things many centers can't do. He's quick as can be. He's, you know, mobile as well. He can pull, and he's strong. He's very, very strong, and it's just those guys are hard to find.
Look, I feel bad that you had to probably watch that Bears game twice to make sure that you do.
I'll be honest with you, it was a little bit more in the fast forward the second time.
I figured as much. Is there anything that you saw from any of the players that were on the field that you think might have a chance to stick here that caught your eye?
I think Braxton Jones is playing a little bit better, but again, he's going against some of the lesser competition lately. And that's improvement I've seen. I'm looking forward to continue to see that growth. I still want to have a stud left tackle. I don't know if he's that guy, but I do appreciate how he's gone about this year, being, you know, drafted where he was and how he has developed. You know, obviously Jack Sanborn, everybody's talked about him. I think he's really making an NFL career for himself, which is great to see for him. But otherwise, no. I mean, Tevin Jenkins, that guy still pancakes guys everywhere. That's just fun to watch. As an O-lineman, former O-lineman, I like just to keep an eye on him too because he's running guys off the screen. But he's just got to stay healthy. That's another thing is going to be a big red flag, that if you're coming off the field during a game that many times as an O-lineman, that's concerning to me. But any other players out there that stick out? No. And that's the bad thing. It's just a team of replacements right now, and it's a team of replacements that are going to be out there with all these injuries.
Patrick, do you think that Tevin Jenkins, has he found his like permanent spot, or is there anything in him that maybe at one point he can turn back into a tackle?
I like him as a guard right now. I really do, and I think they do as well. Like, I think they showed they didn't want to move him out to tackle when Reef and Borum went out. But that's one thing, too. You don't try to move two guys for one position. But I think he's going to be a darn good guard in this league. I like his tenacity. I like the way he plays, and I think he can only get better in pass protection. I think there's some things as well. The game will slow down for him as he gets more reps, like we were talking about Justin Fields, where you understand stunts, alignments, stance for defensive linemen. You'll get a little bit better with that.
Can you walk us through what happened on the play where it looked like Larry Borum gave up a sack, but it wasn't really him?
So going back through the tape, that exact same look happened earlier when Riley Reiff was in there. So what it is if you have a turn protection, center, left guard, left tackle, or turning left, they have everybody there. They brought up three players to the right side, so you have three for two. You walked the linebacker up in the A-gap, you have the three technique, and you have the five technique outside the right tackle. So when you have that, you have a squeeze call. So the guard would go get the inside. You basically protect from inside out. The guard would take the linebacker. The tackle takes the three technique. The quarterback has to read the DN. He's going to be free, and you have to throw hot. Well, earlier in the game, Riley Reiff executed it perfectly. He stepped down a little, anticipating the linebacker coming, saw him take off, you know, put a hand on that three technique, and was able to pop out and block number 47. So that, to me, tells me that that had been coached all week. That look had been shown to them, say, hey, guys, this is a possibility. This is what they show. This is how you have to react. And it's unfortunate that Larry Borum, it looked like he just kept with a squeeze call and didn't hop out at all and didn't take his eyes out until way too late. So I put that on him. At first, I thought, you know, maybe he just, there was a squeeze call and it should have been a hot route, but seeing it run earlier and run effectively with Riley Reiff in there, to me, it was Larry Borum made a mistake.
I'm reading a piece by our own Chris Emma at 670thescore.com about something Matt Eberflus said, that even with everything that's going on around him, Eberflus talked yesterday about setting a foundation for the future, about building a foundation for the organization. And he said, it's how we operate, how we practice, how we go about our business, how we treat each other in the building, how we respect each other in the building, and that creates high morale. Is there anything more specific than that? In 16 years of being in buildings, when they talk about that foundation, what actually matters to a player? Players come and go, Mm-hmm. What are the kinds of things that are lasting? What are the kinds of things that when a player leaves the organization or is encouraged to join the organization? What's in all of these words?
Yeah.
What's meaningful?
It's a standard. It's a standard of how you have to act and what's expected of you as soon as you walk into Halas Hall. And what I mean by that is you're going to walk in and this time of the year when you've got five games left and you're terrible, some of these captains, some of these leaders, they're going to be in the weight room working out, right? They're doing the right thing to get themselves ready, even though they know they're a little outmanned or undermanned or whatever it is, that when they get into meetings, they're still attentive during the entire meeting and they still believe they can win on Sunday knowing it's going to be a tough match. They go out to practice. They practice with the same effort they did in week three. And that's the standard that needs to be set in a building. And one thing, you know, you can say what you want about Lovey, but we set a standard in that locker room with Olin Cruz, Urlacher, everybody, even on our down years, even when we were kind of out of it late in the year, you had to perform in practice, in meetings. Nobody could slack. And I think that's what you come away with. And I think that's what he's hoping to build, because then it's easier when guys come plugging in there, maybe this offseason some guys come plugging in there, that they're like, whoa, okay, this is the way you do it. It's like the Patriot way. You hear about the Patriot way, right? Mm-hmm. You walk into that building, there's a standard set. And I think that's what he's talking about.
Patrick, this was delightful, as per usual. Thanks for your time today, sir.
Oh, you bet. We'll talk next week after another loss. Hopefully not.
That's Patrick Manley. Next up, boy, do we have college football to discuss.
Man, so we've got two college football segments today because we felt like the Big Ten deserved its own time period. So Mike Hall will join us later. The loon, Pete Futek, is going to try to explain exactly what Auburn's doing. We need to talk with him about that and other stuff next here on The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Pete Futek, college football analyst.
How good is Michigan now?
They figured it out. Get through the first half. Like, if you're a betting person, the first half lines go the other way. And then the second half, they just start barreling away. They're great.
co-host of BetQLU, in the action.
Saturdays, if you're not listening to this BetQL, you're just losing money.
Publisher of collegefootballnews.com.
The NFL draft has been Big Ten, SEC, 44% of the talent from those two conferences take up the NFL draft for the last bazillion years.
Pete Futek with Burstein and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Let's talk about the wild world of college football with Pete Futek. He's on Twitter at Pete Futek. He is on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. He is at twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score right now. All right, Few, where do you want to start? I can't believe, after all was said and done, that here comes Hugh Freeze back to a plum SEC job. And I think people don't remember. All people remember is, oh, yeah, he had the numbers of a bunch of hookers in his phone. It wasn't about that. It was about.
But they weren't for him, though. So right. That makes it sure. Okay.
It was all the lies that he told about everything that went on. They tried to pin it all on Houston Nutt so kids wouldn't transfer. And then they ended up cutting a huge check when Nutt sued them for everything that they did. He's just a bad guy.
But he beat Nick Saban twice.
But he's a scumbag.
Yeah, but he beat Alabama, and that's and if you're the SEC, all else is forgiven if you can do that a couple of times. I don't get it. I never got it. I don't get at a completely different level. I don't get Matt Rhule. I don't get Hugh Freeze. I mean, the SEC couldn't wait to get him back in fast enough. He's a good coach. He did a good job at Liberty, but okay, like. I like the new guys. I like the up and coming guys. Find me the guy who's going to be the next superstar. Like honestly, what's he going to do at Auburn? I mean, he's going to in a new expanded college football playoff. He probably gets Auburn in every third year or so, maybe. But you know, you get that Auburn job because other guys like Lane Kiffin don't want to beat their heads against that wall. My guess is that Kiffin's waiting for Saban to retire, and then he takes over at Bama. But yeah, I mean, it's okay. All these SEC people want Hugh Freeze. They want people who are going to win and you know make their programs good at football again. So, all right, fine, whatever.
Pete, you've brought up the subject before when we were talking about hiring in football and the Auburn hiring plays into it. You had two black coaches that were acting as interim, one at Nebraska and one at Auburn.
Yep.
Where both of those guys were asked to kind of like, can you just hold this whole thing together for a while? Could you clean up the mess that your boss left for us? And then neither one of those guys would even.
The Texans did it twice.
Yeah.
Where they bring in the magical black man to cure everything.
Yes. So, and neither one of those guys was ever in any consideration for the two jobs that they were holding.
Yeah. You know, it's a weird situation because it's so sticky because it doesn't matter who you are. And the flip side, you include Jim Leonard in that because the assumption was Jim Leonard was going to get the Wisconsin job. But you're right. It's such a bad situation because, hey, your guy just got fired because the program sucks. And so now we're going to judge you based on the sucky program with the players that are in place. It doesn't make any sense. But, you know, Hugh Freeze is going to retain Carnell Williams. But you're right. I mean, if you include Oklahoma and Texas, the new SEC teams coming in. You know, out of the 16 schools in the SEC to play football, you've got, let's see, this guy, carry the one. Grand total of zero African-American head coaches. Read some sort of, and look at nationally, David Shaw just quit. You know, it's, like you said, Carnell Williams isn't getting a job. Now, the one guy I really wanted it as a Wisconsin alum just because, and who's probably going to get a big gig, is going to be Dion. He's not going to be quiet about this. So in the case of how is the African-American hiring practices better in college football, start with a guy like Dion, and he is going to be very vocal and a big advocate for this.
I wanted to talk about Dion, and I'm not sure what serves Dion or football better. Is it him succeeding at Jackson State and staying there and building up, you know, SWAC and MEAC football? Or is it him moving on to a bigger program and having success? Is the Colorado job even attractive at this point? And not just because it's a D1 job, but do you really want those problems?
You know, yes, because it's a bigger high-profile gig. To me, Dion and Georgia Tech would be cool. Again, I wanted him at Wisconsin just because he's like my favorite player of all time and personality-wise. But yeah, Colorado, you can win there because – look, it's still the Pac-12. You're not in the SEC. You can recruit their most gorgeous campus ever. And in an NIL world and all the things that Deion can bring to the table in terms of recruiting, and he proved he could coach. He proved he's great at Jackson State. He knows what he's doing. He's not just doing this as a, you know, little side gig here. He's really fully focused and fully committed to being a great head coach. Again, you talk about Hugh Freeze. That's kind of a failure of imagination. I kind of think Matt Rhule is too a little bit. Who knows what Deion can be when you give him this entire thing to work with. I just like the excitement of something new and exciting like Deion Sanders. And, yeah, you could absolutely – it's been done before. You know, Bill McCartney won a national championship there. Gary Barnett did big things. You know, you can win at Colorado.
If Black Coach X is doing
– actual name.
That would be an awesome name.
Yes.
Is doing what Deion has done at Jackson State. Is he considered a candidate for other higher profile coaching jobs?
Not as much. It's because it's Deion, and there's so much that goes into Deion being Deion. And right now, the big part about this is, can you recruit and can you get the talent to come there? And certainly, who wants to go head to head with Deion Sanders when it comes to recruiting right now? So I don't think quite as much, because it is the fact that Deion Sanders is Deion Sanders. And again, his Jackson State teams have been rocking and rolling. But yeah, it's because he's Deion.
I've been hearing some from the fringes of Ohio State fandom that they are done with Ryan Day because he lost to Michigan again.
I love it.
Like, and not ironically. Like,
no.
They don't care. 45-5 or whatever he is, national championship contention every year.
And they're probably going to make the playoffs this year.
And probably still going to make the playoffs. But it's, I guess I shouldn't be amazed. I know we're going to get more granular Big Ten stuff coming up with Mike Hall a little bit later. But he's not going to get fired,
no.
Right? Okay.
No. Okay. Look, I spent a solid 5 years as the grand poobah of the Jim Harbaugh Apologist Club. And finally, I finally started to get these, you know, texts and things from people who are all these Michigan people arguing with me. They want a Harbaugh gone. Yeah, you were kind of right. What, I mean, you lost a game. You can't lose, and it's kind of the John Cooper thing when it comes to Ohio State. You can't lose to Michigan.
That's what I mean. All it takes is two or three people on the board of trustees to be crazy.
But they are crazy. I mean, Ohio State's crazy.
I mean,
give them warm chocolate chip cookies on Christmas, and they'd argue that something's wrong with it. I mean, as I said, they could make the college football playoff. They could win the national championship. They could beat Michigan in the national championship, and you would still get a sizable portion of the Ohio State fan base, and I'm not joking here, that would be like, but we went 14-1, and we lost at home to Michigan. We wanted to go undefeated. You can never make this group happy. And look, you're right. He's not only is he succeeded there and actually been better in a lot of ways than, say, Urban Meyer. Obviously, he hasn't won a national championship yet, but he's been better in a lot of ways. And look at what's coming. He's got, like, every five-star guy has at least looked at Ohio State or is coming to Ohio State. This isn't stopping. So it's like, it's so easy to think, oh, this sucks. Now I got to hear it from my Michigan people for another year if you're an Ohio State fan. But on the long haul, it is hard to find, even at Ohio State, it is hard to find guys who can keep that kind of success going and rolling for that long. But yeah, it is an absolutely crazy thought process. But when you're in the midst of it, yeah, you're like, wait, we just lost. Because think about it. Ohio State just spent their entire year, the last 360 whatever days, 1,000% focused as, oh God, we've got to beat Michigan. There's a disturbance in the force. We lost to Michigan. Oh my. And now you just had that handed to you again after all that. You get it why fans are mad, but again, if you just think about it a little bit, all you need is one USC loss and you're going to the college football playoff.
Why has TCU been so good this year?
They've just sort of found the mix. The Big 12's not that great. I mean, Big 12's good. From 1 to 10, it's solid. I mean, the worst team is Iowa State, and that's in West Virginia. Or they could beat anybody else in the conference on the right day. So it's a solid conference. No killers. in that league. But boy, Sonny Dykes came in, just did a great job right away. There was a good base of talent there. The offense clicked. Max Duggan's been there for 14 years. He stepped in. He wasn't even the starter. I mean, it was supposed to be Chandler Morris right away against Colorado. He got hurt. And then Duggan came in and just took over. And it's just been a team that just sort of found a groove. They figured out how to win every close game. And then they went out and trucked Iowa State last week. And so, all right, you know, look, if it was so easy to do, everyone would do it. But, yeah, they're right there, one of three undefeated teams left and a win away from being in the college football playoff.
How does Bama get into the playoff?
I don't know how. That's such a – it's speaking about disturbances in the force. It's like Bama fans can't wrap their heads around – yeah, you mean you don't think we're one of the four best teams in the country? How can this be? You know, college football playoff committee, you've always done us a solid. You've always had the because it's Alabama clause in everything you do. How do you not get us in? I don't think there's any way to do it. I mean, just there's no path. The other problem is, you remember the other kind of the similar argument was 2014 when Ohio State, you had all these other teams, including TCU, was third in the penultimate rankings. And then Ohio State ended up getting in. That's because they 49-0 Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship. Had Alabama come out and just obliterated Auburn, I mean, they blew them out, but I mean, just went like, you know, 62-3 or something crazy, I think then it would be like, okay, yeah, you know, that might be one of those teams that we kind of have to have in this thing. The fact that the score wasn't an insane blowout, it was just a regular blowout, didn't really inspire a whole lot of confidence to get leapfrog them over Ohio State.
So would you be shocked if Ohio State was 5 tonight?
No, they should be. And they should be 5. And look, the Ohio State argument is the same. They, theoretically, if Michigan is the first or second best team in the country, theoretically Ohio State could be 3rd. I mean, in terms of just that's who you lost to. Remember, 11 straight games with double-digit wins. Nobody else in the country did that. Their wins over Penn State, and I would argue even Notre Dame, are really better than anything, say, TCU did. But I do think that no matter what, Michigan, Georgia, TCU, they're in the college football playoff no matter what happens, unless Kansas State just goes off and goes and beats them like 44-3 or something. But USC, if they lose, I don't necessarily think it's right, but I think Ohio State leapfrogs them. I don't think Alabama's got a shot.
So let's talk about USC. Caleb Williams, he's amazing. And now when you look at the odds.
That's over.
He's the odds on
favorite.
By the way,
Heisman voter Dan Bernstein, have you looked at this email yet?
Yes, and I'm intimidated by it.
Yeah, you should be.
What's the email?
Have you done it? There's this new like multi-factor authenticating third-party system for our voting. That apparently they have to like do a retinal print or
God
something or a rectal print.
Them.
I don't know. I mean, wow.
I went through it. I am not.
How long did it take?
Well, first of all, shut your VPN off. It took me 15 minutes to realize that that was part of the problem. But yeah, it is easier to get face value Taylor Swift tickets at this point.
Oh, I mean, don't even start me on that.
There is no chance that. That half these Heisman voters, and I'm not even going to go ageist here because I had a problem, but there's no chance that half of these Heisman voters figure out this system to get in. So in a real deal, they're probably going to get maybe 25% of the normal Heisman voters are just going to be like, forget this. I can't figure it out.
So my kid's going to have to do this for me?
Good luck with that, too. Again, you're right, you can get the nuclear codes easier. I mean, it really is that. And even then, I'm signed in and registered. I still don't quite believe that I'm in. It's difficult. It's going to be a
thing
this
year. When is the
vote
due?
Was it Sunday night or Monday?
Something Monday. I always do it right after the night's game. But to the point, here's the funky part. Let's say Caleb Williams just is awful, and Utah goes Utah defense and stops him. Does America know who Max Duggan is? No.
No, they don't.
No.
They don't. This is a beauty contest. You know, you can argue, yeah, Max Duggan deserves it. Okay, yeah, but nobody knows
who he is. It's not like C.J. Stroud played poorly, though,
against
Michigan.
He didn't play defense. Wasn't his fault.
Right.
No, he should be number two at the very least
right
now.
I think
so. I mean, because he was great. I mean, again, think of also, I know it's Ohio State, boo-hoo, you have 5 stars in the back, but, he was missing his main dude for most of the year. Jackson Smith and the Jigma was out. And again, his defense was the problem against Michigan.
Right.
He wasn't the issue. So I think on everyone's ballot, Stroud is everyone's number 2 or 3. And as long as Caleb Williams is okay against Utah, I think this is over.
All right.
Great. I've got anxiety about this.
You should start now and hope you get it done by sometime.
I was going to say, your afternoon this afternoon should be you figuring out how the hell
you
you're
have to
vote
arrange
for
the FBI. When the FBI comes over and discusses it with you, and they do the background check. So you have to go through that. You know, which you have to have your friends and family get interviewed as well.
It's a good day for it. Tuesday's therapy day, so it's that should work out. I should do that first and then have the appointment. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Exactly.
Hi. All right, Pete. Thank you.
There, guys.
Pete Futek, our guy. You can check him out. He does such a great job for Odyssey and college football. He's making people money. Dan, I have a statement from Jerry Reinsdorf on Jose Abreu.
Why didn't they do this at the going away game?
Because they didn't know he was going away.
Yeah, they did.
No, they didn't. Smove it.
Vitamins.
Jose Abreu deservedly belongs among the roster of White Sox franchise all-time greats. His determination and commitment to the game each and every day made him the consummate professional, always leading by example. It was my fervent hope that Jose would never wear another uniform, as I told him many times throughout the years. Unfortunately, hope is not always translated into reality. While we ended up in different places in the business side of the game, Jose and I always shared the same love of baseball. I'm grateful for Jose for his friendship and the impact he made for the White Sox franchise, both on the field and in the community. I want to thank him for always representing the values of the White Sox organization and the great city of Chicago. Strength, hard work, pride, and tenacity. His legacy is written in the White Sox record books forever. Close quote.
And Abreu apparently said through an interpreter today that the White Sox did make him an offer.
Great.
But it wasn't a formal offer.
Not great.
I don't
care. Should probably make him a formal offer if you want to keep him.
Well, I wouldn't have paid him this.
I wouldn't have either, but you should still make him a formal offer. If your idea is that you would like to keep him at a particular price, then make the offer.
And I thought, according to Abreu, I thought Reinsdorf told him, you will not wear another uniform.
Yes, he did say that.
Okay. So that he didn't just say he hoped.
I also think that that's, you know, I find that to be manipulative, too. Because if you're not going to back it up with dollars, then what's the point of saying it?
What are you doing? Why after the fact now? It just the timing of it looks defensive. It looks
I think that Jerry,
like damage control.
It does look like damage control, but I also think that Jerry does feel this way about Jose and wanted it to be known.
All right, when we come back, we've got High Noon. We have some sad news from the cinematic world. I've got a movie recommendation, and I've got an update on our Giving Tuesday fundraising for Camp One Step, and it's good news. We are nearing a nice
threshold,
a nice number for halfway through the show, so it's good, but we got to keep going. 5 becomes 10, 10 becomes 20, 100 becomes 200. I want to thank Daniel Marbeck from LaGrange, who just gave $1,550 himself.
Thanks, Daniel.
Camp One Step. So he just.
Damn, Daniel!
Right? He just sent a kid and half another kid to camp for a week. And now with that doubled, that's three kids that go to camp for a week from one person and from the match from the Marks Family Foundation.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's good numbers here, so keep it up. Don't stop now, boys. We'll stop now. This is good stuff. So High Noon, straight ahead on The Score.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High noon?
Yes, it's high noon. We have talked football. We talked quarterbacking. We talked to Pat Manley. We talked to Pete Futek. And it is Giving Tuesday, and you are giving. It is wonderful. Our last official update, we are at $9,576 raised since the start of the show.
We're trying to get to $25,000.
Trying to get to $25,000. We are not at the halfway point yet, so we need to pick up the pace a little bit. But these little donations make a huge difference. They add up fast. So what you do, score.givesmart.com, or you can text SCORE to 76728. We are raising money for kids with cancer and leukemia. We are trying to empower them, to encourage them to take on the world through our various programs at Camp One Step. I am a proud board member, a longtime executive member, and vice chairman, and this is so meaningful for me when every time there is an outpour, whether it's our poker event, whether it's the gala or Giving Tuesday, it's a big day for people to just say, yeah, here's $5, here's $10. And then thanks to the Marks Family Foundation, up to $25,000, that's going to get doubled, and that's going to get us to $50,000. That's where we want to be. Thank you.
People always ask, I've heard over the last week, like, where should I donate? Where do you donate? Camp One Step. It's an incredible program.
You want to go to charitynavigator.com and see the absolute top ratings across the board that the objective ratings agencies give us for how we allocate our money, for where the dollars go. We're very transparent about all of it, and all of those ratings have us at the absolute top of the list.
Dan, we like covers on this show, don't we?
Yes, very much so.
I ran into a cover that was great. Mike, let's play a little bit of the original first. So a little Flo Rida low in there with Teddy. I ran across this cover of it, and now I can never hear the original the same again.
Shawty had them apple bottom jeans, boots with the fur, the whole club was looking at her. Floor, next thing you know, shorty got low, 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 low. Them baggy sweatpants and the Reeboks with the straps. She turned around and gave that big booty a slap. She hit the floor, next thing you know, shorty got low, low, low. Hey, I never seen my fan, that'll make me go.
Who is this?
Is this an artist named Miranda? You can follow her at Miranda Music. She's really good.
Oh, there's the pedal steel in there and
this
everything.
This is so good.
So good.
So sexual, she was flexible. Professional, drinking X and O. Hold up, wait a minute, do I see what I think I wore? Did a thing I seen, shawty got low.
Okay, that's enough.
That's awesome. Pour one out for Clarence Gilliard Jr.
And Sundown?
You say, I don't know who that is. He was Sundown in Top Gun.
Most racist name ever. I mean, come on.
You will be Private Sundown. Do you like that name?
I guess.
Sir, yes, sir. And he also was Theo in Die Hard. Oh, my God, the quarterback is toast.
Theo, it's Christmas.
It's the time of miracles. You bet your ass I wish to proceed.
And he did when Bruce Willis was doing the Die Hard battery commercials, they got him to do the commercial with them. Like, he was the villain in the Die Hard battery commercial.
And he had been a film and theater professor at the College of Fine Arts at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. He was only 66, but he's got an outsized place in the hearts and minds of people of a certain age. Clarence Gilliard Jr. He was also on Walker, Texas Ranger, which I've never seen. I've only seen it when it was being made fun of on Conan. So, but I know he had a role in that as well. Another quick movie note, and I don't say this only because my friend Paul Adelstein has a role in the ensemble in this movie, The Menu. It's Anya Taylor-Joy and Ralph Fiennes and John Leguizamo and Adelstein and so many others. Janet McTeer from Ozark is amazing. It's really fun. And I know if you like this show and you have our sort of dark sense of humor, a completely warped and twisted sense of humor, yes, it's a horror movie, but it's a black comedy.
Now, how many black people in it?
How many black people in it?
Two.
Well,
none.
No.
Zero.
No.
Can't call it a black comedy then.
No.
Is Mike Epps in it? Because if Mike Epps ain't in it, it ain't a black comedy.
There's one in the ensemble.
I've been sitting there debating, because it seems like my type of jam, whether or not I want to see it, and your endorsement of it put it over the top for me.
It's fun, and it skewers all the right people, and it's well shot. There's some genuine scares in there too, and it's sort of an atmospheric scare, but it's a hoot. It really is.
All right, I'm down. So that's on my list. Along with the Viola Davis movie. And I guess Black Adam is already out digitally.
That didn't take long.
So if people didn't get a chance to see it in theaters, like, they can watch it at home now. I wonder how long Wakanda Forever is going to be. I guess I could probably look that up. But I'll go see it for sure.
Yeah, and if you're a foodie, or if you're a recovering foodie, or if you just, trust me, You'll know if parts of you are being satirized eloquently.
That is High Noon. We do it every day around this time. And today we had the added bonus of Giving Tuesday and you giving to Camp One Step.
Yes, let's go.
We're trying to get those dollars up before we get out of here at 2 o'clock. If you would like to give, text SCORE to 76728. When we come back, we're going to talk buckets and the Bulls. The Bulls winning a game against a young, hungry team? What happened? It's next on The Score.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.